This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Welcome to Championship Week of the NFL football, the fantasy football season. Boy, got ahead of myself there. Certainly not the NFL Championship Week, although for a lot of teams, it does get to make a break point at this stage, and the Patriots are just about at that point, too.
Championship.
There you go. Championship. TJ, who's your mama? And, well, listen, it is the fantasy football season final week in most cases. I'm sure there are some leagues who either wrap things up last week or maybe go into week 17, but a lot of cases, week 17 is kind of seen as, NFL teams kind of are in some quirky positions. Either they rest guys or whatever. But this is really it. So, hey, I understand maybe only a fraction of our loyal listeners, and we do have some of you out there, are still alive, and we've gotten a bunch of emails, a handful of emails at least so far, with some who to start, who to sit for some of our loyal listeners who are still in their championship, the championship hunt. As far as myself, I'm in two leagues. One of them, I didn't make the playoffs at all. The other one, I was in the playoffs. Top 4 out of 12, make the playoffs, and I played a very, very close friend of mine last week. I was the 4 seed. He was the 1 seed. I was winning when we all went to bed on Sunday night, and then he had Philadelphia's defense, which, thanks to old friend Asante Samuel, gave him actually more than enough to beat me. It was too bad. I had guys like Bernard Berrien, Michael Turner, a couple of key guys who had some big performances for me. Dominic Rhodes, I should mention, had some big performances. I was pretty pumped up about the way things were going on Sunday, and I still knew, though, that Philadelphia defense against Ken Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns would probably be enough to do me in, and it was. So my fantasy football season has come to an end, but certainly the fantasy lowdown season has not. We're here with you right now. We'll be here with you again next week as well, looking like a Tuesday edition of the show, Tuesday at 4 o'clock. So, we'll wrap up the season and talk a little bit maybe about some of the matchups in Week 17 in case those have fantasy implications for you, but you can post that on your calendar for next week, for holiday week next week. We'll be coming to you on Tuesday instead of Thursday. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address here for the Fantasy Lowdown and all of the great programming here on patriots.com. Eager to take your emails and talk about some of the key storylines in football that have fantasy implications. And as I've just gone through some websites over the last hour or so, this is kind of the time that practice reports come in for different teams. And we're getting all kinds of information, little anecdotes, little stories on some of the key running backs, quarterbacks, some big-time game time decision types of things going on. So we'll try to fill you in on all of that. Now, tonight is an interesting game. Indianapolis against Jacksonville. That's in just a couple of hours. So if you're in your championship for your league and you've got guys on the Colts or the Jaguars, maybe you have some antsy couple hours here as you want to get that week in a good shape. Started out well. We've got, a game time decision, it looks like, with Joseph Addai. Dominic Rhodes had an outstanding performance last week. He's really been a strong backup to Joseph Addai, who's had a disappointing injury-prone season. But we're looking at some game-time decisions there as far as Addai. And the other key point is that Marvin Harrison has been ruled out for that game. So that certainly puts the onus on Reggie Wayne, who's a solid performer. And certainly Anthony Gonzalez, I guess, goes up a peg. It may be too late to pick up a guy like Anthony Gonzalez. But, hey, if you got a couple hours here and you're looking for a wideout to fill a gap, hey, worth taking a peek at your waiver wire. And maybe in these last couple hours you can pick up an Anthony Gonzalez. He'd be an interesting one to keep in mind. Taking a quick look back, we like to take a quick look back at the previous week, week 15, starting at quarterback. really pretty cut and dried when it comes to touchdowns. Matt Cassel and Tavares Jackson both had four touchdown passes. No other quarterback had more than two. Matt Cassel obviously playing with a heavy heart, his dad having passed away the week before. It was the type of matchup that, you know, all of that aside, was certainly in the Patriots' favor when, from a passing game perspective. Sure, Nnamdi Asamoah is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, but, you know, I figured Randy Moss would have a little bit of vengeance, and Wes Welker is the most consistent wide receiver in the entire league, really hands down. Not so much in the touchdown category, and, you know, you're certainly disappointed that he's only reached the end zone twice. But when a guy gets, you know, 6 to 10 catches consistently a week, you know that the end zone is going to come there. I thought it was a good matchup for the Patriots passing game going in. You know, 218 yards, not a huge total for Matt Cassel, but four touchdowns, a couple to Randy Moss, Kevin Faulk had one, and Wes Welker as well. So just an outstanding performance for Matt Cassel, fantasy and otherwise, and a huge win. A lot in his mind during the week, but he was able to focus on that game and come through. You know, they jump out to a 21-0 lead, thanks in large part to field position, but really to Matt Cassel as well. So a big-time performance. And then Tavares Jackson, really a similar situation, Minnesota and Arizona. Minnesota, the road team, jumping out to a huge lead on Arizona. And Tavares Jackson hitting Bernard Berrien, Sidney Rice. Big-time performance for Jackson, who, another thing we'll get to, has really taken over as the quarterback in Minnesota going forward down the stretch. You know, Gus Frerot, not really a big-time fantasy performer, and I don't see as much from Tavares Jackson, but I'm interested to know if, you know, if you're in your championship hunt and maybe getting there despite having some shaky situations at quarterback, was Tavares Jackson a guy that you looked at on the waiver wire this week? You know, an interesting thought. They host Atlanta this week. So, you know, it could be a kind of performance that Minnesota could be airing it out again. I'm sure Adrian Peterson obviously will get his yards. And it's not like the Vikings aired it out. In fact, only 11 completions on the day for Jackson, four of them for touchdowns. So, an interesting situation there with Jackson and the Vikings. I'm curious to know if he was on your radar screen. From a yardage standpoint, Phillip Rivers had 346 yards and a pair of touchdowns, and Peyton Manning also topping the 300-yard mark. A handful of quarterbacks threw for two touchdowns in the 200-yard range. David Garrard is in that category. Donovan McNabb, 290 yards. Tony Romo had a pair of touchdowns on 244 yards, and Jamarcus Russell, who had just an atrocious start against the Patriots, did wind up with 242 yards and two touchdowns. And I'll tell you what, I'm very unimpressed seeing Jamarcus Russell up close and personal for the first time, as I did last week in Oakland. A very unimpressive quarterback. And of his 242 yards, the touchdown to Johnny Lee Higgins was 56-something yards, and only about six or seven of those were on the pass. And then Darren McFadden picked up around 70 yards on his three screen passes. So, in my opinion, Jamarcus Russell's you know, his numbers, including the two touchdowns, those are decent fantasy numbers, but I just don't see that happening too often, and the yards after catch were big for him in that game. Drew Brees, 232 yards and two touchdowns, also had two picks, and believe it or not, he was only one of very few who had multiple picks. J.P. Lossman had three, losing the starting job for the Buffalo Bills. Brian Greasy, Kurt Warner, and Jake Delhomme were among those who had over 200 yards and one touchdown on the day. But Matt Cassel and Tavares Jackson are your standout performers at the quarterback position. Now, at running back, the aforementioned Dominic Rhodes, I mentioned him earlier because he had a big-time day for my team, which was good. He had two touchdowns, 86 yards and two touchdowns, the only running back on the day in the NFL who had two touchdowns. Michael Turner had 152 yards and a touchdown, so we'll give him the nod as, I guess, performer of the day. Pierre Thomas, a guy we're definitely going to get to in a little bit, 87 yards rushing and a touchdown, seven receptions, 59 yards, and a touchdown as well. So that's a huge performance right there. Sammy Morris for the Patriots, another big one, 117 yards and a touchdown, yardage leader on the day. Adrian Peterson, he didn't score, but 165 yards. Just looking at a few of the others, Tashard Choice, rookie in Dallas, we'll get to him as well, 91 yards and a touchdown, same exact numbers for Steven Jackson. Marshawn Lynch over the century mark, and Steve Slayton right at 100 yards. Those guys did not score. Lamont Jordan for the Pats had 97 yards and a touchdown. And as we look at some of the top wide receiver, top running backs. So only Dominic Rhodes among the running backs who reached the end zone twice on the ground, mentioned that Pierre Thomas scored in the air as well. No doubt about who was the best wide receiver. 207 yards receiving for Andre Johnson and a touchdown. What a game. They upset Tennessee, and Matt Schaub coming to life a little bit. So Andre Johnson, a big-time day. Steve Smith as well, 165 yards and a touchdown. The one guy who got into the end zone twice, our very own Randy Moss. The Patriots' Randy Moss scoring twice in his old stomping ground, 67 yards on the day. Dennis Northcutt with one of his more impressive performances, maybe of his career, 127 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Bryant, Calvin Johnson, both over 100 yards and a score. Santana Moss, Marcus Colston, Jeremy Urban, believe it or not, the fourth wideout on the Arizona roster. He scored as well. And we'll just mention a few others. Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne, Braylon Edwards, and Jason Avant. They all topped the 100-yard mark, did not score a touchdown in those games at wide receiver. So Andre Johnson, over 200 yards, and he reaches the end zone. I don't think there's much question there who the best wideout was on the day. The best tight end, also no question. 142 yards and a touchdown for Dallas Clark of the Colts. I look for him to have a big game tonight at Jacksonville as well. Coming off that impressive performance, one less wide receiver as far as an option for Peyton Manning tonight. So look for a big performance there. Tony Gonzalez, David Martin, and those two guys, 60-something yards and touchdowns. Joey Hanos from Miami, he's never been mentioned on the fantasy lowdown, I can tell you that for sure, but he did get into the end zone as a tight end for the Miami Dolphins. Dallas Clark there having such a huge game. And real quick, the defensive, the team defense, the Jets against Buffalo, three interceptions and the fumble recovery, and that wasn't just any fumble recovery. That could turn out to be the fumble recovery that saves the Jets season. Sean Ellis there at the end scoring for the Jets. The Cowboys had a pair of interceptions, as did the Eagles playing against Ken Dorsey and the Browns. The Buccaneers, two picks. And the Bears and Steelers, too, as well. The Browns had three interceptions, we should mention as well. So those are some of the defensive standouts. In a little bit, we'll get to some of the rankings for this upcoming week here. We do have a few emails. I'd like to get to, you know, we'll spread them out a little bit. And certainly we hope to get a few more as the show goes on during this hour here at Web Radio. At Patriots.com. So let's check out one of our first emailers we get every week. Paul from London. Paul, thanks for checking in. It's playoff time, V-Lo, after my bye and the unimportant week before that. Remember you talking about that. I have to focus again on the league and try to win the title in week 17 if I can win this week. So Paul will certainly be tuning in next week. Paul, I'm happy to inform you, and you did ask me later on this in this email here. We will be on next week, Tuesday at 4 o'clock Eastern. But back to his big questions for this week. Quarterback, Cutler, Schaub, and Brady. Now, you know what? I mean, Cutler is the guy. I mean, you're going with Cutler. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the top guys out there. And Denver hosting Buffalo, so you definitely want to make sure he's in your lineup. Matt Schaub is an interesting guy, especially with what he did last week and going up against Oakland. They're at Oakland, but I still feel I'd lean towards the more consistent guy this year, which is Jay Cutler, who's got a few different weapons, and they're hosting Buffalo as opposed to Houston going to Oakland. Now, Oakland is miserable, and I think they could be able they could put up some yardage, but you know, I think there's more consistency there out of Cutler, a better opportunity for a big week. At running back, Chris Johnson, Sammy Morris, Brandon Jacobs, Tashard Choice, and Tatum Bell. Chris Johnson for sure. And I'm at this point, I'm going Sammy Morris close to for sure. Chris Johnson, well, actually, you know what? I got to back up a sec. Let me just first mention Brandon Jacobs. Looks like he's been limited in practice this week and probably not going to go. I mean, I think there's a chance he's going to go, but I'd probably rule him out as far as starting for you. And Tatum Bell, assuming the Bell you mentioned is Tatum Bell, too much of a revolving door in Denver. He might be in the mix, but not startable. Between Chris Johnson, Sammy Morris, and Tashard Choice, those are the three options that you have there, in my opinion. And Chris Johnson, my instinct was, for sure, they're going against Pittsburgh. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. You're in the ballpark there of, is he an every week start for sure? Sammy Morris, I like the matchup. I think the Patriots offense is going to be able to really open things up passing wise, which is going to help in the running game. And then if there's bad weather, I think Sammy Morris is going to hold on to the rock a little bit and get a good number of carries. Maybe it won't be as explosive as last week, but I think it'll be pretty good. Tashard Choice is one of the most intriguing guys this week, but they play Baltimore. So you're looking at Chris Johnson with a tough matchup against Pittsburgh, Tashard Choice, tough matchup against Baltimore. got to lean toward Chris Johnson. He's been doing pretty well so far this year. Go Chris Johnson, Sammy Morris, which is looks like is what your instinct was. Wide receivers, no doubt about it. You got Moss, Welker, Fitzgerald, and Hixon. Hixon is kind of on the bubble this week. Moss, Welker, and Fitzgerald all on the same field, all at the same time. You can watch that one game. You'll be all set. Go with all three. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Fitzgerald will get into the end zone. Go for it. Tight end, Cooley. And Paul writes, on this week's matchup, who are the top tight ends I should go for? Well, that's an interesting one. If you're thinking about, you know, I'll get to that in a little bit, but if you're thinking about tight ends on the waiver wire, this is a great year for tight ends on the waiver wire. It really is. We'll get to tight ends in a little bit, but Cooley's a guy that you're probably going to want to start anyways. And then Gostkowski, Pro Bowler, Gostkowski as your kicker, and the Baltimore Ravens for your defense, another reason why you might not want to start Tashard Choice, because then you'll be kind of battling it out there between, you know, who am I rooting for there that day, Choice or the Ravens. So, Paul, great email. Thanks once again. Good luck this week. I hope we're going to be in position to help you next week, that you win this week, and looks like you were in cruise control for most of the season. So all the best to you right there. So we mentioned a couple of guys in that email that I wanted to bring up, included in that, Tashard Choice. Tashard Choice, great game last week, filling in for Marion Barber. Marion Barber did miss another practice this week, toe injury, game time decision, and you know, definitely puts Tashard Choice in the spotlight. He showed some explosiveness. He scored twice in that Sunday night game against the Giants, in which, you know, the Cowboys certainly answered some of the questions that a lot of people had about them during the week with all the mayhem that was ensuing in Dallas. But Tashard Choice had an excellent game. And on this year, this is basically the year of the rookie running back. So why not have another one sort of enter the spotlight towards the end of the season? What an amazing year it has been for these running backs. I mean, as it is, Paul there in London talking about Chris Johnson and Tashard Choice as two guys legitimately to be starting this week. Chris Johnson, really, other than the matchup, is a must-start. And he's almost becoming one of those must-start kind of guys, even if it's a bad matchup. Very intrigued by Tashard Choice. It's just, you know, I can't break down his game for you, but I like these running backs in a good offense, and he's fresh. So if he's getting carries this week, that should be a good opportunity for Tashard Choice owners. However, you got to still wait out on Marion Barber just a little bit. Looks like a game time decision there. More emails to come at webradio@patriots.com. A couple of other items to look at here at the running back position. Matt Forte for the Bears. He's got a toe injury, just like Marion Barber. Looks like he hasn't practiced yet this week, and that's definitely an iffy situation. So, you know, you're probably not going to want to start him. If he's ruled out, the guys that are the backups there are Adrian Peterson, no, not that Adrian Peterson, the other one, and Kevin Jones. Not very appealing options in Chicago if Matt Forte isn't able to go. So monitor that one and look elsewhere if you need to pick up someone to replace Matt Forte. Frank Gore is an interesting one. Game time decision, and I did just read a little while ago that he's calling for a 50-50. He's saying he's going to be 50-50. Deshaun Foster is pretty much clear-cut as the backup running back and should get a number of carries. If Frank Gore can't go, you're going to want to monitor that one. But Frank Gore looks like a 50-50 proposition. Deshaun Foster jumping in. We've got more to get to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and more emails to come. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com. Stay tuned.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Revolution have the perfect shopping plan to avoid crowded malls and long lines during this hectic holiday season.
Oh, what a save, Reese, again!
This year, get everyone on your list the Revolution Holiday Pack. With the Revolution Holiday Pack, you'll skip the lines, and they'll get tickets to four soccer matches of their choice. And they'll get to pick their seats before tickets go on sale to the general public. Plus, they'll receive a limited edition, full-color 2009 Revolution wall calendar featuring their favorite players. We know managing the holiday budget is more important than ever, and that's why the Revolution Holiday Packs start at just $76. We even offer flexible payment plans. You can pay $25 now and the rest in 09. Get your holiday shopping done quickly and easy by ordering the New England Revolution Holiday Pack. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net and give the gift of Revolution Soccer. Pride.
Knockdown, it's loose.
Passion.
And it's in.
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriots fans, this holiday season, there's more reasons than ever to head to the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Not only will you save big, but you can win incredible prizes just for shopping. Enter the Ultimate Holiday Contest, and you might win a VIP game day experience, a tour of the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, given by a Patriots Hall of Famer, dinner with the head coach, and much more. Plus, get a free Patriots gift with any $50, $100, or $200 purchase at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Can't make it to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and take advantage of the $5 flat rate for shipping on every order, regardless of size or destination. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round, Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now and enter the ultimate holiday contest at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. In-store promotions not valid on game day. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. It's a Thursday here in New England, Championship Week in your Fantasy Football League, and we've got the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars in just a couple hours, and the rare Saturday game. Major implications for the New England Patriots, Baltimore at Dallas. Speaking of those New England Patriots, it's a good time in the show right now to analyze and dissect what is certainly one of the absolute top-notch fantasy games on paper of the season. I'm sorry, of the week. Cardinals at Patriots. We're talking about some of the highest-rated wideouts, the highest-rated quarterbacks in fantasy. And Kurt Warner and Matt Cassel are our top five-ranked quarterbacks this week. Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, top 10 or so. Ah, wait a minute, though. Let's back up just a moment. Anquan Boldin certainly stood out in my mind when I saw the Arizona Cardinals injury report yesterday that he had a shoulder injury and missed practice. Okay, you know, sometimes I'm not down there in Arizona. I don't know exactly what's going on with his injury. Sometimes a guy misses a practice on the first day, and it's a little bit, hey, you know, a guy, it's a long season. We're in week 16. You want to manage guys a little bit. Well, I'm just reading now, actually, in that last break, that Ken Wisenhunt did acknowledge today, Cardinals coach Ken Wisenhunt, that he's considering sitting Anquan Boldin for week 16. Now, I'm guessing that the Cardinals are going to be traveling out to New England tomorrow, on Friday. Generally, that's kind of the rule of thumb when you're going coast to coast, and being a 1 o'clock game, it would probably be ridiculous for Arizona to fly out on Saturday and have a game that's almost body clock wise at 10 a.m. given that day. So there's a good chance of traveling tomorrow. So we may very well know about Anquan Boldin's status sometime during the day tomorrow. If he doesn't travel, that'll probably be acknowledged. If he does travel, you never know. But what I'm reading is that, you know, between the weather conditions, the fact that the projected weather conditions, the fact that the Cardinals really have nothing left to play for, they're in the playoffs. They're short of a 3 or 4 seed. I don't know if they're locked into one of those. They can't get 1 or 2, but they've won their division. So there's not a lot to play for. And just want to make sure a guy like Bolden, who already had a pretty rough injury this year, you want to make sure he's good. A lot of signs right now, just in these last few minutes, are pointing to Anquan Bolden not playing. So what kind of effect does that have on this game? And more importantly, from a fantasy standpoint, I got to be honest, the more I've been thinking about this game, I do think Kurt Warner is going to get some of his numbers, probably get into the end zone or get one of his guys into the end zone once or twice. But I don't see this being an epic shootout for the Cardinals, for the Cardinals offense. I think the Patriots are going to be able to take advantage of this weather condition, the weather conditions, if they are as bad as it seems like they might be, better than the Cardinals, who have absolutely zero running game to mention. And J.J. Arrington, who's right now really the backup to Tim Hightower, Edgerrin James is a non-entity virtually right now, he's hurt as well. He missed practice on Thursday. So Tim Hightower would be carrying the load. But you want to know what the Cardinals' running load was last week? They carried the ball, I think it was 5 times. Granted, they were down early, so they had to throw it. But I just think that the loss of Anquan Bolden, obviously, if he doesn't play, if you own Anquan Bolden, and I actually do in my league that I lost in the playoffs last week, so I'd really be feeling the effects if I was still alive in my league. I think it's going to be not much of an impact for Arizona's passing game. I just think that Warner's going to get his numbers regardless of if Bolden's in there or not. I just don't think they're going to be epic numbers. This means that Larry Fitzgerald is the number one receiver without question this week if Bolden doesn't play. And the very impressive Steve Breston would slide up a notch. Breston is closing in on 1,000 yards. They're close to having 3 1,000-yard receivers. Just a remarkable season there. So, again, the news out of Arizona is that Ken Wisenhunt acknowledging today that benching or keeping Anquan Bolden off the field on Sunday is a possibility. So you got to keep that in mind. Now, on the other side of things, the Patriots offense, I very much think that they'll be able to take advantage of the weather better, even in the passing game. Again, I don't think this is going to be a four passing touchdown day for Matt Cassel. I don't know if Randy Moss is going to get in the end zone twice, but I do think he'll get into the end zone once, and I think Matt Cassel is going to have the numbers, maybe 2 touchdowns, and I think the Patriots running game is a little more equipped to deal with the weather than Arizona. And also, just reading some of the comments out of Arizona this week, it seems like they are, while I wouldn't say concerned about the weather, it's sort of in their mindset. And they're talking about, yeah, it's going to be tough. I think it was Dominique Rogers-Cromartie saying, well, I've never played anything close to 20-degree weather. It's kind of in their head, and the Patriots have been out there practicing in the bitter cold this week. So that's going to be interesting, very interesting to see what effect, if any, the weather has on these passing games. I think it will, but I still think it'll be a relatively high-scoring game. So there you go. That's the Anquan Bolden news as of right now. While we're on the topic of the Patriots Arizona game, Michael Fabiano, NFL.com fantasy expert, has a mailbag each week, and I was perusing that earlier. Just want to bring up a couple of the Q's and the A's that he had in his mailbag. Here's what one person writes. G. Sanders in Baton Rouge. I've ridden Kurt Warner to the brink of a fantasy championship, but I'm worried about his matchup against the Patriots. Should I bench him in favor of Jay Cutler? And here's what Michael Fabiano has to say. Warner actually has a great matchup this week. The Patriots' defense is riddled with injuries and vulnerable to even the most average pass attacks. In their last 2 games, the P-men, that's the Patriots, have allowed a combined 454 yards and 5 touchdown passes to Seneca Wallace and Jamarcus Russell. No, that's not a misprint. Warner, who is one of the top 5 quarterbacks in fantasy football, should be considered a must-start in most formats unless you have either Drew Brees or Peyton Manning. So, Michael Fabiano, very well-respected guy with NFL.com for fantasy, very high on Kurt Warner this week, saying he has a great matchup. And, you know, the numbers don't lie. The Patriots' defense, even though they've won these last 2 games out on the West Coast, they did give up a lot of yardage both to Wallace and to Jamarcus Russell. Now, these games had completely different tones. I was very impressed with Seneca Wallace against the Patriots. He had good running ability, found Deion Branch, who had a little bit of one of those revenge games like Randy Moss did this past week, and he was able to really creatively find John Carlson, find Deion Branch. Last week for Jamarcus Russell, pretty much what the Raiders were able to do was after they were down by 14, 21 points, and even that, it wasn't downfield kind of stuff. Certainly some breakdowns in the Patriots defense, but that was a little more of the shorter screen passes and yards after the catch. The Patriots have to shore up their tackling. That's very important. And, you know, when you've got guys like Jonathan Wilhite, Mike Richardson, inexperienced guys getting a lot of playing time, you definitely worry about the Patriots defense against a guy like Kurt Warner. So while I don't think he has a great matchup this week, I think it's a good matchup. And if you have Kurt Warner, you got to start him. You know, even if the weather isn't all that great, even if they're going up against the Patriots, you probably have to start him. But I might lean toward Jay Cutler. If I have Jay Cutler and Kurt Warner, I might lean toward Cutler going against Buffalo rather than Warner against the Patriots, because if the weather is as bad as it is, you just never know in those passing games. Another one from Michael Fabiano here. Question from someone in McMinnville, Oregon. I love Matt Castle's matchup this week, but do I dare start him ahead of Drew Brees? Here's what Fabiano says. Now is the time to stick with your studs, so there's no way I'm benching Brees. He still has a chance to throw for 5,000 yards and faces the winless Lions in Week 16. This game could turn into an absolute barn burner, so Brees will no doubt have another monster stat line for fantasy leagues. An interesting take right there, a very interesting take. I agree, you know, you can't bench Drew Brees, you know, who's really one of the top-rated quarterbacks in any format, and they're going against the Lions. You really can't, but it's very interesting. This is a game the Lions maybe can win. So does that mean that, you know, how does that factor into Brees? Well, you know, the Saints don't have Reggie Bush. Deuce McAllister might be slowed, so Pierre Thomas is carrying the load. You don't have a lot of options there, so you're going to definitely be throwing the ball quite a bit against the Lions. So you've got to look at Brees ahead of Castle. And in some ways, the same reasons that I was talking about Kurt Warner and Jay Cutler. The edge has to go to the guy with the better numbers, who is probably going to be playing in some better weather. With New Orleans at Detroit, forget about the weather; they're inside. So you definitely have to edge towards Brees. But it's very interesting there. Matt Castle is really one of the top ranked quarterbacks if you look around this week. So that's a very interesting one. Another question, one more from Michael Fabiano we want to get to here, not Patriots-related, though. I'm in the championship game and have been reading your raves about Pierre Thomas. Should I start him ahead of Steven Jackson, Thomas Jones, or Michael Turner? Here's what Fabiano says. I've been a huge fan of Thomas for several weeks, and I love him against Detroit. In fact, I have him ranked third among running backs behind only Adrian Peterson and Michael Turner. The Lions have the league's worst run defense, and Thomas has been one of the hottest runners in the league. In fact, he's scored the third most fantasy points at his position on NFL.com since week 11. With the status of Reggie Bush uncertain, Thomas should see a ton of touches in what could be a shootout at Ford Field. Overall, I'd start Turner and Thomas and bench Jackson and Jones. Well, just to update there, at the time that this was written, Reggie Bush was uncertain. He's now on IR. It's definitely all Thomas all the time. And amazing how you get these weird twists and turns in the NFL season and how it relates to fantasy. Who could have ever thought a few weeks ago Pierre Thomas would be a third-ranked running back going into any week? But it's very true. What a great confluence of situations here. He's got the lead role for New Orleans. He's a hot running back, and they play Detroit. Must start. I have him on our Patriots Today fantasy lowdown segment, which will be on later today. I have him as my must start. So I agree there with Michael Fabiano. Pierre Thomas really getting taking advantage of some of the great opportunities he's having with the Saints. And like I said earlier, Reggie Bush is done for the year. So Pierre Thomas is right up there. And what do you have? He had two touchdowns last week, one rushing and one receiving. So a very strong performance. That could be a real big offensive output for the New Orleans Saints. But, you know, as Fabiano says, and as you seem, it seems like there's a little bit of sentiment out there that this could be the Detroit Lions week, and their quest to not go winless this year. They close things out with Green Bay. So they've got New Orleans and Green Bay, two non-playoff teams. You know, you wonder what the mindset's going to be for the Saints and the Packers as they go into these Lions games. Are they going to be looking at, hey, we don't want to be history here. We don't want to be the one that finally was able to lose to these Detroit Lions, but have some of their players packed it in? That we just won't know until we get out on the field. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. Let's get to another email here. This is from Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia. Hi, Brian. I got my last fantasy question of the season. I'm in the championship round this week, and my only question is with the defense and special teams. I have both Tampa Bay and San Diego, and they're squaring off against each other this week. Tampa has had the better overall year, but I keep asking myself, which team has the better offense? And that should clearly be San Diego. That makes me think that I should start the Chargers defense since they get to go against the weaker offense that may or may not include Jeff Garcia, depending on his status this week. What are your thoughts? Well, always tough when you've got two defenses and they're going against each other. There's really nothing much to like about the San Diego defenses here. They've been lousy, and Tampa's defense has been pretty solid all the way around. There's really no question you go with the Buccaneers defense. It's a tough one. You're going to be cringing for quite a bit because of the numbers that Philip Rivers is capable of posting. But the Buccaneers have done a decent job against some pretty good offenses. Just looking real quick, and I'm pulling them up right now. Their record this year in some of their games. They played Denver and they lost 13-16. I'm sorry, they lost 16-13, so they only gave up 16 points to Denver's high-powered offense. They beat Atlanta early in the year, 24-9. So what's proving to be a high-powered Atlanta offense, they did fairly well against. How about Minnesota? They won 19-13. New Orleans, they beat them twice. I'm sorry, they went 1-1. They gave up 20 points once and 24 another time. Last week against Atlanta, they lost in overtime, 13-10, but only gave up 10 points in regulation. They've been able to limit the damage against some of the top defenses. I'm sorry, some of the top offenses in the league. Maybe they can do the job. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson hasn't done much this year. I don't love Tampa Bay's defense this week, but I definitely like him better than San Diego. You could do a lot worse. So, Kevin, this is Kevin in St. Mary's. Kevin, I'm definitely giving the edge there to starting Tampa Bay's D. And your reasoning, it makes sense. I mean, keep asking myself which team has the better offense. That should clearly be San Diego. I would agree. And Tampa starting Brian Griese, makes it very interesting. But San Diego's defense has been lousy. You cannot trust them. You definitely cannot trust them. That game is in Tampa Bay. Definitely go with Tampa Bay, Kevin. Appreciate the email. Yes, it is your championship round this week. You've emailed us a couple of times this year, a bunch of times, and hopefully we've been of some help. Wish you a lot of luck in the championship round, and I'll have the Tampa Bay defense in the back of my mind as I watch games on Sunday, hoping for the best for you right there, Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia. webradio@patriots.com. That is our email address. A whole bunch of rankings to come as we hit the stretch run on this show. A few other situations. We've touched very closely on running backs. I definitely want to get to some of the quarterback situations in the league and get to a couple other emails that we have. You are listening to the Fantasy Lowdown on patriots.com radio.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multigrain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep, took care of the kids list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's gonna be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really really great stuff at Christmas tree shops, and I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Good music selection today, Dan. I like it. Dan, what's the deal? You're in your fantasy championship or what? Oh, he's giving me the no, not even close, huh? The fantasy lowdown didn't help you out? Thought I could help you out this year. Hey, you helped us out. We batted around some ideas. Sorry, Dan. Hey, you and I both, we're done. We're all done. What are you going to do? I look up on the TV screen here. I see Ben Roethlisberger, who is my must-sit in my Patriots Today weekly fantasy lowdown. I think it's going to be an ugly one for him. I think the Steelers, believe it or not, have a chance to beat Tennessee in really what is the battle for the number one seed in the AFC. I just don't see it being because Ben Roethlisberger throws for touchdowns or yardage. I think if they do, it's going to be because of defense, as it's always been, and the running game for them. Tennessee missing a couple of key defensive players, Albert Haynesworth, Kyle VandenBosch. I think that's going to play into the Steelers' ability to run the ball. I think they're going to struggle passing the ball. So that's just my two cents there on Ben Roethlisberger. Came into my mind because I see him on TV. Looks like the Jim Rome show. So just to recap, Ben Roethlisberger is my must-sit. And I mentioned earlier, Pierre Thomas is my must-start. That's what I'm looking at for this week. Looking at a few quarterback scenarios, a few quarterback situations in the NFL this week. Looking at Buffalo, not very appealing from a fantasy standpoint. Trent Edwards started the year really strong, really tailed off. J.P. Lossman has been in there the last couple of weeks, and it was a disaster last week. It's back to Trent Edwards. They're playing against Denver. Not a great defense, but Trent Edwards, at this point, I mean, unstartable. You can't expect much out of him. I mean, could he have a good game? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's got some talent, but you just can't expect anything out of him. So don't even look in the Buffalo direction. Tampa Bay is a very interesting one. Jeff Garcia. Garcia is never afraid to express his opinion. It seems like he and Jeff Gruden don't get along all that well. John Gruden, excuse me. But he says that he expects to play. He's been limited in practice, didn't play last week. Brian Griese had a fairly solid game, 269 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. So looks like Garcia is a game-time decision. You know, he's quietly had a decent fantasy year. Those first couple of weeks were kind of volatile in Tampa. But for the bulk of the season, I felt like he was a, you know, startable number two quarterback. If you either start two quarterbacks, or you need a capable backup, or you've got two sort of in that mix, I felt like Jeff Garcia was a pretty capable quarterback this year. And if he does start going against San Diego, I think it could be a solid week for him. Brian Griese, hey, a little less so, but you hope to have some better options than them. But you know, Antonio Bryan's been having an excellent season. They've got a few targets there. I'm intrigued by Jeff Garcia if he does play this week. Seneca Wallace, you know, mentioned him earlier. He had a very impressive performance against the Patriots, and I like the Seahawks this week. I like the Seahawks this week against the Jets. The Jets have been terrible going out west. Their defense isn't all that great anyways, especially their passing defense. I think Seneca Wallace might be able to find a way to post some decent numbers. This late-season emergence of Deion Branch has been solid for Seattle. John Carlson is a consistent tight end. I kind of like Seneca Wallace this week. Very interesting guy if you're, if you have some quarterback issues and you need a guy like Seneca Wallace. I'm not saying he's in the top 10, even 15 for quarterbacks, but I think he could have a sneaky good week this week. Keep him in mind. Another email here. This is from Matt. Hey, B-Low, I've somehow managed to land in my league's championship game, mostly due to the fantasy lowdown. Matt, you are way too kind. I mean, way too kind. Tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure, when you wrote that, but we appreciate you thinking of us as you wonder how you got into the championship game. Here are my start and sit questions. We'll go one by one here. At quarterback, he's got Sean Hill or Matt Shaw. Here's what he says. Hill has been playing all right, and he's got a good matchup against St. Louis, but after the way Shaw played the last 2 weeks against good defenses, I think I have to go with him against Oakland. You know what, Matt? I disagree a little bit there. Schaub definitely has played great, and you know, the Oakland defense is very intriguing there as far as a quarterback to go against. I kind of like Sean Hill. I think St. Louis, playing in St. Louis there, it's San Fran at St. Louis, I think it's going to be a decent game for Sean Hill. I really do. You know, if your instinct says Matt Schaub, I'm not going to argue with you there, because it really is close, and Schaub to Andre Johnson is becoming a really solid duo. But I just think it's been a little too good for Schaub, and I see a little bit of slippage there this week. Oakland's terrible, but you know, I don't know. I think they might be able to you know, pick off Schaub once or twice. I kind of like Sean Hill. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of like Sean Hill over Matt Schaub, but you know, I don't want to screw you up there. You thought highly of Matt Schaub going into this week. Stick with him if that's your gut, because it is close. I might give the slight edge to Sean Hill. That's just me. All right, running back and wide receiver. I can start the following combination of running backs and wide receivers. Most of the season, I've been starting either Marshawn Lynch or Ryan Grant at running back, then going with Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, and Dwayne Bowe in the other three spots. Okay, so what it is he's got two running backs, three wide receivers. That's the five right there. The question is, do you think I should keep that lineup and choose between Grant and Lynch, or start both running backs and take out one of the receivers? Oh, okay. You know what? I think I see what it is. It's one running back, two wideouts, and one flex. Grant or Lynch, or start both running backs and take out one of the receivers. Grant torched the Bears earlier this season. Lynch is at Denver, and Fitzgerald and Bowe have good matchups as well. As for Smith, despite the Panthers playing the Giants in New York on Sunday night, he's been on fire lately. Love all three wide receivers here, Matt. I would go with your pick of Marshawn Lynch or Ryan Grant, and to me that would be Lynch going up against Denver's defense. I agree with you on Ryan Grant against the Bears. Fitzgerald, absolutely got to start. Steve Smith, no question about it. You've got to start him really every week. And you know, in this particular case, they're going against the Giants. I don't care. You got to start him every week. And then Dwayne Bowe, Kansas City hosting Miami. I'll tell you what, a decent matchup, I think. I think Tyler Thigpen gets the ball to him, and that's a pretty good one. I worry about Ryan Grant the most out of all those. I would go with Lynch. I would go with Fitzgerald, Smith, and Bowe. Seems like that's where you're leaning towards. Not going with both of the running backs. That's just me. One last point from Matt. My one other trouble spot is at tight end. I've been scouring the waiver wire all season, but in a 17-team league, wow, it's tough to find anyone that's not a number two tight end. This week I've got Desmond Clark, Mercedes Lewis, or Martellus Bennett. I don't see Bennett doing much since Romo's BFF is the other tight end. Good luck to you and all the other listeners in the playoffs. That is from Matt. Matt, excellent email. As always, we always appreciate hearing from you. Tight end, it's interesting. I'll tell you what, if you're going 17 deep as far as in your league, and there's 17 tight ends that have to start, that's a lot of them. This is a deep year for tight end. It really is. And actually, Paul from London had some questions about tight end earlier. You know, there's definitely some interesting question marks here. And who to start. I've liked Kevin Boss a little bit, going back a couple weeks. He's been disappointing, but, don't rule him out. I like Kevin Boss a lot, if you can pick him up. Here's a real sneaky one that I'm going to throw out there. Tony Scheffler in Denver is very good and is always a top ranked guy. Daniel Graham. If you're going that deep at tight end and you need, someone beyond the top 18, really, Daniel Graham's gotten into the end zone a couple times, and it seems like even though they have Tony Scheffler, he's an intriguing guy. Of those three that you mentioned there, Desmond Clark, Mercedes Lewis, or Martellus Bennett, I'm probably going to lean toward Mercedes Lewis. And that game is tonight, so you've got only a couple hours to make that final decision. I like Martellus Bennett. I kind of liked him back in the draft time. He's had a couple of his moments this week or this year, but as you say, Matt, you can't trust him being the not just the second tight end, but a rookie second tight end to maybe the best tight end in the league. Can't go that route. So I'd probably go Mercedes Lewis, getting some of these weird names confused. I'd probably go Mercedes Lewis. You can throw the ball against Indianapolis. So of those three, that's the one. I don't know. I don't have much more help for you. I always have the Patriots wideouts, Patriots tight ends in my mind. You'd never know when it's going to be one of those weeks that Benjamin Watson gets a touchdown. Maybe this will be, maybe it won't. You just have no idea. But he's been too inconsistent, too many drops that you can't really go in that direction. So interesting questions there, Matt. Interesting email. Great to hear from you, and good luck in that championship game. Hope we're not screwing you up too much there. WebRadioPatriots.com. You can still chime in. We've still got a few minutes here on the Fantasy Lowdown. And as I said earlier, we are going to come to you next week on Tuesday, same time, 4 o'clock. But we'll come to you on Tuesday instead of Thursday. It is a holiday week. Thursday is a holiday. So Tuesday will be the day. Be sure to send your emails if you have any by Monday night, Tuesday morning, if you can. And we'll definitely try to get to those. Looking at a few of the rankings coming up this week, Greg Rosenthal, we've had him on the show a few times. I always jump to his page on rotoworld.com for some of the rankings, and let's see what he has for quarterback this week. Drew Brees, number one at Detroit. Hey, that New Orleans offense against Detroit, if you've got anyone, whether it be Brees, Colston, Shockey even, Pierre Thomas, who I've mentioned a little bit before, you're going to want to go with those guys because I'll tell you what, that is one miserable team, one miserable defense. Hey, you never know. Maybe they come to life this week and maybe they win. Lance Moore, another one. You've got to start these guys. You've got to start these guys. And if it turns out that New Orleans lays an egg, hey, you got to hold your head up high. How would you have possibly guessed that? Number two quarterback ranking, Peyton Manning, tonight against Jacksonville, for sure. Then we go Kurt Warner, number three, with the note being watch the weather. But, if it's a beautiful day out there, I think he might have a top three quarterback type of day. If there's some weather-related issues, I think it drops down to top ten. I really do. And if Anquan Boldin isn't playing, that's another situation there. Matt Schaub, four. Jay Cutler, five. Matt Castle, six. Aaron Rodgers, seven. Sean Hill, eight. So we had that question, Schaub or Hill. Greg Rosenthal certainly thinks Schaub at four, Hill at eight. I'm telling you, I there's something about Sean Hill, and there's something about Matt Schaub on the negative side that I just don't see the consistency out of him, although Andre Johnson's pretty impressive. Sean Hill, very interesting play. Donovan McNabb against Washington is nine, and Tony Romo against the Baltimore Ravens is number 10. But, he's battling. He's sort of hobbled a little bit. He was on Sunday night, so keep that in mind. But Tony Romo, you can still bank on some production out of him. Running backs. Number one, Adrian Peterson against Atlanta. That's a run defense not exactly highly rated. Their run defense is 22nd in the league, Atlanta's is. So look for a big day out of Adrian Peterson. Brian Westbrook against Washington, number two. Thomas Jones, really having just a great year for the Jets, is number three. Steve Slayton, talked about those rookie running backs, he's number four, Houston going against Oakland. And then Matt Forte, number five. Rosenthal says he's expected to start. Looks like that could be in question, but if he is against Green Bay, that's a good guy to start. 6 through 10 here, Pierre Thomas. We heard from Michael Fabiano earlier say that he's got him ranked third among running backs this week. Rosenthal has him sixth. I think he's right around that five range myself. Steven Jackson, number seven. Maurice Jones-Drew, number eight. Tonight against Indianapolis, Marshawn Lynch for Buffalo against Denver, number 9. And Frank Gore, 10. Certainly if he does play against St. Louis, he's number 10, but his status is uncertain. A little bit of a game-time decision there, perhaps. And if we're just wondering about the Patriots running back, Sammy Morris, who is really has taken on the lead role, he is number 20 this week. I think that's about right. I may slide him up a little bit going against Arizona, which does have a middle-of-the-road run defense, but I think he's going to carry the ball quite a bit. And if you're wondering about Arizona's running back, Tim Hightower, 31st, that's about right. They've had a terrible running game. Hightower's had his moments as well, you know, but not a very consistent year for yet another rookie. Okay, wide receiver, Andre Johnson ranked number one against Oakland. So that Shop to Johnson connection, you know, hey, he's probably going to get the ball to Johnson quite a bit. Will he have the 200-yard game that he had last week? Probably not, but still pretty good. Larry Fitzgerald, number two here against the Patriots. Steve Smith for Carolina, number three. Calvin Johnson coming off a big outing. He's number four going against New Orleans. Brandon Marshall for Denver, fifth. Anquan Boldin, sixth against New England. Keep an eye on the shoulder injury. Obviously, we may know 24 hours from now that he's not playing. So that's an interesting one to keep in mind. Randy Moss, ranked seventh. I think that's about accurate. Roddy White for Atlanta, eighth. Antonio Brian, ninth. And Wes Welker is 10th. And if you're wondering about Steve Breston, very interesting one right there. He is ranked 28th here. That would certainly move up. If Anquan Boldin is ruled out or doubtful leading up to the game. So keep an eye on Steve Breston, you know, certainly in position to maybe have a huge week. At tight end, as we were talking about earlier, top heavy with Tony Gonzalez, number one, Dallas Clark, number two. John Carlson, I've just been so impressed with his ability to get the ball, even if Seneca Wallace is the quarterback, number three against the Giants. I'm sorry, against the Jets. Antonio Gates, fourth, and Jason Witten, fifth. So solid quintet right there. Dustin Keller, rookie tight end for the Jets at Seattle, sixth. Zach Miller, seventh. He does have a shoulder injury he suffered against the Patriots, but, you know, if he's playing against Houston, that should be a good matchup for him. Chris Cooley, eight. Jeremy Shockey, nine. And Owen Daniels, 10. And, you know, we look down, got to go a little bit of a ways to find Benjamin Watson at 22 going against Arizona here at Gillette Stadium. The defense is real quick. Eagles number one against Washington. Steelers number two against Tennessee. But that Tennessee running game, very interesting. They've been dynamic. What can they do against the Steelers? Number three, the Cowboys going up against Baltimore on Saturday night. The Titans fourth against Pittsburgh. And the Ravens fifth against Dallas. Patriots and Cardinals are down there in the 20s. Cardinals 21st, Patriots 24th. Those aren't defenses you're going to want to start this week, Patriots or the Cardinals. A few other things just to keep in mind. I'll pitch a few things here. Patriots Today, we're coming your way every day here on Patriots.com in a fantasy lowdown segment in our Thursday show that we're working on right down the hall from here. Patriots-Cardinals on Sunday, we'll be blogging right here from Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com, the Patriots Today game day blog with all your information. Could be a big-time weather one, so I'll be here very early and giving you updates on the weather, giving you updates on who's going to play, who's not going to play all the way through, and then, of course, updates during the game. Hey, maybe I'll give you some fantasy news and nuggets as well. The fantasy lowdown will come your way next week on Tuesday from 4 to 5, a holiday week. We're wrapping up the season here, but we'll still have an episode next week of the fantasy lowdown. Our thanks to everybody who's emailed in today, Matt, Paul in London, Kevin in St. Mary's. It's championship week. Hey, it doesn't get much better than this. This is what it all comes down to. I'm envious of everybody who's setting their lineups right now for championship week. We've got a game kicking off in 3 hours, Indianapolis and Jacksonville. We've got a game 2 days from now, Baltimore and Dallas, games that have playoff implications for the Patriots. Fantasy implications for everybody. That is what it's all about. My thanks, of course, to Dan behind the glass. This is the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. Even if I tumble, fall.